You could turn to 1 Samuel 15:3, but I got a couple verses to save it right before that. But let's pray first. Father, not my will but thine, what you're all about. Help us to have ears to hear. Teach us how to listen and how to apply what we hear. We need you, Jesus, more than our breath. Amen. Forgive me for my tennis shoes. I wear tennis shoes around my house. And this morning, God was just giving me all this stuff. And I have my tennis shoes on. And normally, I go over the front door, kick my tennis shoes off, put my little black shoes on. I like wearing my black shoes. They feel good to walk around in. But this morning, I was so late getting out of there that normally I try to be here by 9 so I could pray. And this morning it was like, I looked up and it was like 10 after 9 or something. The guy was like, don't worry about it. I'm like, okay. And then when it was time, and then Sue goes, are you ready to go? And it was about that time I was ready to go. And I just forgot to put my black shoes on, so forgive me. My feet are going to kind of be like my mouth. They're going to run today. First, I want you to look at, let me just tell you two verses real quick. Jonah chapter 2, verse 8 is one of the saddest verses in the Bible, and I'm talking to somebody in this room, so please hear me. Jonah 2, 8 says this, and then I'll tell you what I've gotten out of it. It says, but they that regard lying vanities forsake their own mercies. People that believe lies forsake the mercy that God wants for them. Every one of us have been in that place where we have believed lies. We've believed our feelings. We've believed what the devil's told us. We've been deceived by others. Shame on them, but the worst deception is self-deception. And I'm giving a word of warning to you. There's somebody in this room that you don't hear, and God's drawing a line, and you walk out of here, your life is not going to be the same tomorrow. A man walked into a service that we helped somebody start a church in another city, and they were doing this service, and the son of one of the people came there, and the son was mocking. He was old enough to drive. He showed up on his own. He started interrupting the service. He started mocking what was being said. He started doing all this. They didn't know what to do because he was a grown man. But he was the son of one of the ladies that was there. At first, they were excited because they've been praying for him. And he showed up, but they didn't realize he showed up on the devil's team to disrupt what God was doing. And things were said, and he didn't listen. And when he left the service before it was done, and before the service was done, the mother got a phone call that he had just been killed. He killed out on the road, driving, leaving the service. You don't mess with God, and God's given a warning today. So I know you'd like to hear all this bless me stuff and, you know, go and prosper and live long and prosper and all that stuff, you know. And I'm sorry, go watch Star Trek or something, you know, and you can get that. But I'm talking to somebody. So here, pay attention. Jonah 2:8. They that regard lying vanities forsake their own mercy. God's like extending mercy. Extending hope. Extending his way. But if you continue to do your way, you're going to hurt yourself. And that without remedy. Okay? In James 4:7-8, it says, or I'm just going to do verse 7. submit yourselves, therefore, to God. You and God cannot run your life. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves to God. I feel better. Thank you, Lord. I didn't want to say that. Now turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, and then we're going to go to 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Now, I don't know about you, but see, like whenever God had me look up these kind of verses when I was in your position sitting there and the preacher was preaching, I would write down these verses, and then I would end up reading the whole passage around it, and it was like incredible. And so whenever I go to preach and I look at a verse, I want to read all the verses around it to you. And then that's why sometimes it gets a whole lot longer. So I'm not going to do that. You do what you want, okay? Do you know that everybody in this room, everybody on this planet, is at different levels with God? We got to love people where they're at. We got to allow them to grow where they're at. Do you want to be able to grow where you're at? Or do you want me to get in your face and try to straighten you out? Does that feel good? If you need it, we will do that, okay? That's what the warning word was just about, okay? Some of us need stronger measures, Dinah, than others, you know what I mean? That's why I had to get a spanking every day of my life, because that's what I needed. I'm telling you, that's why I told my kids, I said, I don't want to. I said, let's go in the bedroom and have a board meeting. I said, because when I'm done, you're going to want to. Okay. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm so glad for how my kids turned out. And I'm not saying I did everything right. I've said it many times. I'm the worst part of my marriage. Jesus is the best part. Sue's the next best part, and I'm the worst part. I'm just glad they let me be part of it. Okay? I'm serious. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Now no chastening, no discipline, no hard stuff for the present or what you're going through presently seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The key words there are unto them which are exercised thereby. If you're willing to go through the hard stuff, if you're willing to embrace it, if you're willing to say, God, what am I missing? God, don't give up on me. God, just keep doing it until I get it. I don't care how hard it is. What am I supposed to be learning here? He's wanting to form righteousness in us. It doesn't come from us just hearing it. We already know what's right, but our flesh, our will, is contrary to God. Anybody want to say anything? How about amen? Okay. All right. You know what we need to do? We need to not interrupt, and when we talk, we need to talk quieter. Okay? All right. That needs to be our pattern. Okay? Thank you. I appreciate you being excited, but I want you to let it be in the spirit, controlled. Okay? Now, no chastening, no hard stuff. Seems to be joyous but grievous. It didn't make him feel all good and excited for me to say that. Do you understand? Made it maybe grieved. Oh, why do you say that in front of everybody? Why? But it's like when he hears that, if he receives it at the end of the verse, unto them which are exercised thereby. If he will receive it and allow that to do the work in his life that God wants it to do, it's going to create righteousness in his life. By the way, God had me, I don't know if I wrote it in my notes. Oh, here it is. It's in my notes. Sleeping. If somebody in here, while we're preaching or whatever, or doing whatever, they fall asleep, maybe that's the level where they're at. Maybe they're tired, and maybe they come here. Maybe they don't get rest anywhere else. Maybe they come here. God maybe was telling this to me. Maybe you don't need to hear it, because sometimes it irritates me if I see somebody asleep. what I have done in the past when I preached around the country is I go sit on their lap. Okay? They start snoring, and I go sit right next to them or sit on their lap and preach at the top of my lungs. Now, that was Harvey. It wasn't God. Okay? But what I'm saying is, let's say somebody falls asleep. Maybe this is the only place in their whole week that they can come to a place of resting, of slowing down, of getting peace. So let's allow people, if somebody does that, we don't got to give them the righteous elbow. You know? Okay? I'm just saying. Okay? Maybe that's where they're at. We need to love them where they're at. Anyway, it's just something I felt like God told me to say. And I don't want to do that one without Sue here to bring it into focus. So where were we? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Thank you. So when we're going through hard stuff, it's not pleasurable, but it's needed to get us to be like Jesus. See, we can come here and say these words, whatever it takes, form me, consume me. And all those words are good, and I'm glad, and I love hearing them. But how does God get us there? He's not going to wave a magic cross over your head and poof, you know. It's not from you coming and, oh, I got hit by lightning, the lightning of God, and now everything's, it's not like that. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It's breaking agreement with lies so you can receive the truth. It's allowing God to bring stuff to your surface of what you're holding on to, your feelings, your unforgiveness, your pain, your disillusionment. It's allowing God to bring that and you properly dealing with it by giving it to God and admitting, this is what's really in me, but I don't want it. I want you. And he's like, well, will you break agreement with it? Will you choose to forgive? Will you choose to release? Will you choose to bless? Will you choose to let me live through you? And you break agreement with this stuff, and then you can receive the good stuff. You can receive God. Do you hear what I'm saying? These today, it's a very practical thing I felt like God wanted to do. And if you turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll go 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father. This is 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, you're like Genesis, Exodus, 1 Peter. You know, 1 Peter's way back by 1 John, if you know where that is, which is back by Revelation. I just like messing with you, you know. When I first got in church, the preacher would say, turn to such and such. By the time I found it, he was done preaching. And I'm like, one of the first things I did was memorize all the verses, all the books of the Bible, so I could know where he was. And one day he got up and said, turn to Hezekiah 3. And I went, there's no Hezekiah 3! And everybody started laughing, you know, like, I was probably the last one to get it, you know what I mean? But anyway, 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant, overflowing mercy, which is when we don't get what we deserve, according to his abundant mercy, he has begotten us again. He has born us again unto a lively hope. Do you need hope? Yes. Born us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because that needs to be our focus. I remember when, after Pastor Glenn got saved, and 6 months later, we were talking, and he told me he was saved, or God told me he was saved, or something, and I said, when did you get saved? He said, I rode around with you. And he said, you said, a church is a hospital for sinners. He said, when you said that, it was like a great big wall between me and God came crashing down. He said, and then you led me to the Lord. I said, when did I lead you, Lord? He said, Harvey, anybody that hangs around you is going to get saved or get out, because all you ever talk about is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's what I talk about, because I want to talk about Jesus. And that is where we start with God. And that's where we need to continue with God, and that's where we end with God. Okay? Anyway, go ahead. Say amen. So, verse 4. To an inheritance. Where are we going? Heaven. To an inheritance. We get an inheritance because we're His children. To an inheritance incorruptible. You can't corrupt it. And it's undefiled. It's not messed up. It's not dirty. And that fadeth not away. It doesn't become less over time. Reserved in heaven for you. But Lord, all these people are getting saved. Maybe you're going to run out of room. Nope. I already got a place reserved in heaven for you. Thank you, Jesus. Who are kept by the power of God. Not kept by you keeping the rules. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. That's how somebody gets saved. Through faith unto salvation, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection. Believing Jesus got what we deserve. God loved us so much, He got what we deserve. He set up the rules and then said, I'll go pay your debt for you. So He had to create Himself a body so He could pay our debt for us. Because He didn't want us to get what we deserve. When He said, Father, treat me as if I'm Harvey, that's what Jesus said. Father said, if I treat you like Harvey, that'll kill you. And Jesus said, I don't want it to kill Harvey. Because that's eternal death. So let it kill me. I'll be His substitute. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You can't always tell who's saved and who's not saved. In your spirit man could tell. But we look at people, oh, he's saved, he dresses right, he smiles, he has all the Christian jargon. They don't know God from a donut, okay? But in the last time, it's going to be revealed. You're going to get to heaven, you're going to be surprised. I didn't know you were coming! And where's so-and-so? You know, just because somebody's loud, just because you got a loud horn doesn't mean you got gas in the tank. And there's some people that are real loud. And where's God? Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. I am going through a season. The last 3 weeks, I thought my life was hard. I thought my life was busy. I thought I didn't know. I didn't think it could get any harder, heavier, busier. In the last 3 weeks, I keep saying, though now for a season, though now for a season, I hope it's a short season, but though now for a season, I am going through some hard stuff. Every day, I had 3 workers. We were booked ahead. I lost 2 of my workers, which I'm thankful for, to be honest, but it made my life easier when they were there. Because they did the physical work. But it made my life hard because they wouldn't obey. They kept doing what they want to do. Now we're having to go back and clean the messes up and fix stuff. Al and Pastor Glenn saw me spend 3 hours or whatever back going through one of the trucks trying to get all the trash out and trying to go through and organize stuff just so I could use it. Anyway, we go through stuff. You need to remember something. When you're going through hard stuff, it's usually for a season. The Bible says it came to pass. Remember, it didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Okay? I didn't make it up. Isn't that what the Word says? I didn't make it up. And it came to pass. This too shall pass. Okay? Verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice that I'm going to heaven, I'm saved. I know Jesus! Though now, for a season, if need be, I got a spanking because I needed it, ye are in heaviness through manifold or multiple temptations or trials in your life. Why? That the trial of your faith, I believe in God, and He goes, let's put it to a test. Let's see how much you love me. Let's see if you love me. Let's see if you trust me. Well, I only love you when you're doing right, God. according to me. I only love you when everything's smooth, when I can stand up and praise. How about do you love them when that your testimony is, my life is unbearable? I can't stand it. He says, your in heaven is through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. You know, when you buy gold, it comes in different, what's it called? 10 carat, 24 carat purities, purity levels. They put fire to it and they bring impurities. Different impurities come to the top under different fire, under different temperatures. Do you understand? So they run it through, and let's say, I don't know which one's the best, let's say it's 10 carat is low, and then 24 carat's better. I don't know, because I'm not a goldsmith, okay? But let's just say it's that way. Well, you may have 10 carat gold, and God says, we got some of the impurities out, but now we need to go deeper, so we're going to go to 14 carat. That means I got to put up more heat, because under this heat, different impurities come to the top. We all have impurities. Anybody else want to agree? We all have impurities. Thank you. We all have impurities. We all need the heat in our life. Because we walk around in deception, comparing ourselves with other people, thinking, I do better than him. I do better than her. I'm doing this and they're not. I don't do this and they do. We all have impurities. So God brings... allows heat in our life to bring those impurities to the surface, because that's when the goldsmith can skim off the scum. And that's how what we do by confessing our sin, breaking agreement. Here it is. I don't want it in my life anymore. It's in my life. But God, I want to break agreement with that. I don't want those antichrist spirits living through me anymore. I don't want anger and pride and selfishness and control. And he says, let's skim them off with confession. And let's bring them under the blood of Jesus and get forgiveness. He says, now you can receive truth. Now you can begin to live truth. Though it be tried with fire, it says that your faith under fire is going to be found to be more precious than the most precious gold you know of. And it says, though it be tried with fire, in the end it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Do you want to just feel like everything in your life is okay now and you get the praise of men? Or do you want at the end to stand before God and you get the praise of God? And he says, you know, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. This is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. That's what I want. See, we start with a place where it's well done, thou good and faithful servant. But we want to go mature into becoming that son. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Do you understand? We're all at different levels. Are we willing to go through, embrace correction? Embrace instruction. Embrace, submit ourselves under authority. Embrace hard things that are coming in our life. Do what leadership is telling us instead of saying, well, I am. Well, why do they keep telling you the same thing? If you are, okay? You know what I'm saying? It's like embrace the good stuff. Embrace what God's doing. Embrace God's way. That means you got to let go of your way. Is your way working? Your way is not working. You don't have peace. You don't have joy. Things aren't working. The blessings. Do you understand? And I'm not saying everything's going to be perfect. It's not like, you know, TV Christianity, you walk around in a cloud and, you know, just gold appears out of everywhere and you wear a diamond ring and drive a Cadillac. And I'm talking about joy, unspeakable and full of glory. I'm talking about you being full instead of walking around looking for somebody that you could pour out to or somebody that will help you. You're so full of God, you're helping others. Do you understand? Is that what you want? Because if not, you're not going to like what we're talking about. You probably won't like it here, that, okay? Because it's not about the external. It's about this inside. The external will come too, but it's doing this. I'm just going to read some notes. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're only going to read verse 3 today. 1 Samuel 15, verse 3. I'm going to read some notes, and we're done. Whoops, I forgot. We've got to read the verse. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Here's in Romans chapter 13, there's a cross-reference verse. Romans chapter 13, verses 3 to 4, says this. God talking about leadership. He says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? You ever driving down the road? See, I used to be into drugs. And when I used to drive down the road, when I was into drugs, every time I saw a cop, what'd I do? Slow down. Pull over, roll the windows down to get all the smoke out of the car. Because I was afraid I'd get caught. I say, cop now. I don't do all that. The people with me are like, you know, there's a cop there. You ought to slow down, you know. You know, you're just about to hit the sonic boom. And anyway, I tell them my car knows two speeds. It's doing one in the parking lot right now and the other one when I'm driving. Okay. All right, not funny. Okay, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. This is Romans 13, verses 3 and 4. For he, talking about leadership, but in this particular application, talking about civil authority, policemen, judges, blah, blah, blah. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. They're ministers of God. They don't even know it. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he, authority, beareth not the sword, vengeance, in vain. For he is the minister of God, set up by God to be a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. I simply wrote, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. When you have authority, I used to tell my kids, I don't want you to be afraid of me. I said, I don't want you to be afraid of me. I just want you to know better of what to and not do. You understand? It's like, but we need to be aware. If we do evil, it's going to get us. It's going to catch up with us. Okay? And God sets up people in authorities for that purpose. It always baffles me when people get mad at policemen and judges. And they are so guilty. But they want to get mad at the policemen and the judges. And I'm like, did you do wrong? But they don't admit they do wrong. That's why they're mad at them. They want to blame somebody else. That's why they're in the predicament they are. Like Donna said, you know, we learn best at the end of a 2x4. You know, it's like sometimes we got to get hit with something bigger because we weren't listening when we got hit with something smaller. Okay? We're talking about King Saul here. King Saul was told by God what to do. We do not, here's what I wrote down, we do not have to understand nor be able to explain why we're doing what God told us to do. We just need to obey. We don't have to understand what he said, nor be able to explain it to others or even to ourselves. Just obey. God told him, I want you to go and wipe out all these people. And not just the men and the women, but the children and the sucklings, the ones that were nursing, okay, I don't like all these words here, Lord, I don't want to say them, all of them, wipe out their cats, their dogs. But Saul the king compromised God's orders and God's will. What is God's will? What Father God wanted. He compromised what God said. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, your glorying, your rejoicing is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? You let a little bit of sin in your life and let it go unconfessed, you just cut one little corner, and what will end up happening is you justify it, think that's okay, it's going to affect the rest of your life. James chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. I'm just going to read it. I'm going to try to just read it and not explain it. But you need to look it up later. James chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, do you know what the royal law is? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It says it right there. Ye do well. Another place it's called the royal law and the, what's the other place it's called? Doing to others, you'd have them doing to you. The golden rule. Okay. Maybe we made that up. Anyway, Bible calls it the royal law. Okay. But if ye have respect to persons. Do you respect some people more than others? Oh, they got money. I give them respect. If you don't have money here, just, you know. If you have respect of persons, ye commit sin and are convinced or convicted of the law as transgressors. You've gone beyond what the law says. For whosoever, you ought to memorize this verse, verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. See, if a policeman pulls me over and says, sir, do you know why I'm pulling you over? And I said, it's on the list, I'm sure. Just tell me which one this time, you know. And he goes, because I had a policeman pull me over. Do you know why I pulled you over? No. He said, because you were speeding. I said, sir. Yeah, I argued with him. I said, sir. I'm just telling you, I'm supposed to be the good example of the rotten sinner, right? So I'm just letting you know, okay, because I had to learn from this. Because this happened to me a year or two ago. And this cop pulls me over on 131. See, everybody else was going slow because he was going slow. So everybody else was going slow, and I'm like, I don't got to go slow just because he's going slow. I said, I could pass him. I wasn't speeding. I wasn't speeding according to my understanding. It said, was it say 60? Let's see, was it say 60? Well, I don't even know what it said. 70? 70? But he was going like 65. And so everybody else was going. I'm like, I got to get somewhere. You know, it's all about me, right? And I let them drive on my road. Why are they in my way? Hey, I'm saying all these words, you're laughing, but we've all thought them, have we not? I'm not hitting your car. Move, okay? That's right. So I go about 72, 73 miles an hour, and I pass the cop. Now, I don't pass him like he's standing still. I'm not that dumb, okay? But I still passed him, and he's leading the pack because everybody else is afraid to pass him. Ask Brother Nate. He knows what I'm talking about. He's done it to people, you know. So I pass him. So here he comes with his little things and pulls me over. You know why I pulled you over? No, I don't. You were speeding. I said, well, I said, I've done 79 all over the state, and police in Michigan don't have a problem with that. He said, the speed limit's 70, and you were exceeding it. I'm giving you a ticket. I started yelling at the cop. I told him off. I didn't cuss. I didn't cuss.
Amen. Amen.
Let me tell the whole story. So I yell at this guy. I'm not speeding. You know all those people that were going slow? They got where they were going before I got where I was going. You know what I'm saying? It didn't cost them as much to get there either, right? So I yell at them, scream at them. I'm trying everything I can to not do that, but obviously he was wrong, and I needed to point it out to him. In my present thinking, it didn't. So we get all done and we leave there, and I'm talking to God about it, you know. I'm telling Daddy on him, okay? And God says, right, because of course I was right. So I'm talking where we live. I'm talking where we live. So I'm telling God about him, and God says, I said, God, why was I yelling? And he said, you have this wrong belief system, Har. In other words, he worked through that cop to bring to my surface what was down inside of me. Did the cop do anything wrong? No. He was just a tool that God put in my life to bring something to the surface, because God was trying to answer my prayer to become more like Jesus. Do you want to become more like Jesus, or are those just words? So how about today instead of a someday we'll become like Jesus? How about today? Can we get real? That means we got to get honest. Now, by the way, God, God puts people in our lives. Sometimes they're our mate, and they tell us stuff, and we don't want to hear. Maybe they're our mom or our dad or our mate or a friend or our pastor, and we don't want to hear, because we still have stinking thinking where we think we're right, and you just don't understand. You don't know the whole story. So then we want to throw up on them the whole story. And I'm just sitting there covered with vomit while they're talking. And when you're all done, I'm going, uh-huh. And the truth didn't change. I understand everything you're saying. Can I take a shower now? Are you going to do that again? Because usually when they're throwing up on you, they're not done. They're going to do it again. Because now throwing up on you wasn't enough. They got to go find somebody else to throw up on. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you done that? I mean, are you aware enough and honest enough to admit you've done that? Because every one of us have done that. It's not good. And so I'm all mad at this cop. I'm telling God on him, like God's going to straighten him out. And then I have enough awareness and teaching, you know, that I go, okay, God, is there someplace I'm guilty? And he was probably like, I was waiting for you to get to this point, you know what I mean? He's like, I've been waiting, you know. I said, so is there? And he goes, yeah, you have wrong thinking. He said, you were not respecting that cop. He said, you were doing fine normally, because they allow you this 9-mile-an-hour difference in Michigan. They don't allow it in Ohio, okay? They give you about 4 miles an hour over, if that, and it just depends. They're having a bad day, you don't get zip, okay? Ionia, all kinds of places, okay? What I find is, if I'm driving somewhere and it's not my local stomping grounds, I am going to drive different than around my local stomping grounds, okay? But the point is God said to me, Harvey, you have wrong thinking. And because of that, you justified what you were doing. And because you justified what you were doing, you were blaming everybody else. Instead of looking at yourself, you're pointing at them and saying, he's wrong because he brought it to my attention. He cost me.
He took my time. He told me what no one else would say. No one else wants to get thrown up on. No one else likes your fury. No one else can stand it. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Somebody tells you something. You may not like the way they say it, because none of us are perfect. We're not always going to say it the right way. But we need to be open and say, God, is there something in what they said I need to see? Is there truth in what they said I need to see? These weren't even in my notes. I'm trying to stick to my notes, but I guess I need to tell you that story. Whosoever should keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you could go 1 mile an hour over and you're guilty of all. You don't have to be 10 over or 5 over or 15 over. You understand? It says speed limit. It doesn't say minimum limit. You have to do at least 70. I would love it. Anyway, okay. For he that said, when Pastor Glenn and I went out to, where was that, New Mexico? Yeah, Arizona, and then we were coming back. Remember, we'd see those places, and it would, I don't remember what they were, 75, 80 miles an hour, you know, and so we'd drive 90, you know, and it was like, it was fine, you know, it was like, not really, but we did. I liked the bigger the number, you know. I mean, like, when I go over to Lansing, and it says 496, I want to see if I can get it up to 496. No, I'm only kidding. Okay. Around Grand Rapids is 196. I love it, you know. I make time and knock a heartbeat. Okay, just have a hard time keeping it on the road. Okay, verse 11. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou don't commit adultery, but if you kill, you're become a transgressor of the law. Just because you don't do this that's wrong, but you do that that's wrong, you still broke the law. You follow me? So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Realize we're going to stand before God and give an account. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. This is what applies to King Saul. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Okay? Let's talk about love. How could killing folks... Am I going too long here? I hope I'm not. Are y'all done or okay? Let's talk about love for a minute. How could killing folks be love? God told them to go kill men, women, boys, girls, babies, even those that are, still attached. Okay. How could that be love? Let's talk about it for a minute. There's four areas of love in the Bible. There's loving God, there's loving the world, there's loving others, and there's loving self. Have you ever read 1 John? Have you ever read the book of 1 John? Can I challenge you to go read the book of 1 John and look up the word love? I think it's in there about 99 times or something like that. I don't remember exactly how many, but it's in there a whole bunch of times. Maybe that's the Gospel of John, it's 99 times. In 1 John, it's maybe like 50-something, okay? But go read it. Because we have this idea of what love is, but when you read 1 John, it gives you what love really is. So please go read 1 John. There's five chapters, okay? Are you reading Proverbs every day? Anybody doing that? Anybody taking me up on that challenge? I'm real thankful for all four of you. Okay, the rest of you, let's try Proverbs every day. Today is the 17th, so you ought to read Proverbs chapter 17, verse 1, okay? I mean... the whole book, you know what I'm saying? The whole chapter. You know what I'm saying? Whatever day it is, read that chapter in Proverbs. I'm not telling you to do that instead of everything else. I'm telling you to add to it. Did you want to grow and become a soldier, or you just want to stay wimpy and not be able to lift up the bar that has the weights on it? You know what? That's it. I want to be a football angel. That's right. When I was a kid and I went to do the weight workout, I could hardly get the bar up, man. I was a teenager. I was this wimpy little kid. And I could hardly get... And they all have these big things. I got chest. And me, dude, my chest all caved in. And and they said, Harv, just try picking up one end, you know? I mean, one end was easier for me, you know? The whole bar, that was hard, okay? You think I'm kidding? I am not kidding. I couldn't do it. I was... But God said, Herb, that's not what I want for you. I don't want you to be so eating bananas, you know, swinging from trees. He said, that could be somebody else's thing. He said, I want you to be a wimp. I want you to realize you need me. That's right. So let's talk about love. Four areas of love. God, world, other, self. What are you loving? Okay, what are the right priorities of love? We got God, world, other, self. What's number one? What should be number one? Okay, God. What should be number two? Others. World, somebody said. What is it? Number two. Others. Number three. Self. Number four. There it does. And that shouldn't be one of our loves. Because it says if you love the world, you're an enemy of God. Bo, let's do this. Turn over to Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. I just asked you what the priorities are. And you said God, others, self, right? Right? J-O-Y, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. That's how you have joy, okay? Can't spell joy with a Y first. Y Joe or Yaj, it doesn't work. Okay, it's not joy. Are you ready? Matthew 22, verse 36. Master, a lawyer says, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said unto him, he said, let's make this real simple for you, lawyer. He said, so he drew a cross and he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. In other words, you need to love God first with everything. He said, and then, that's the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as you love yourself. Now, I'm not going to go on because you ought to have those verses memorized. Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 to 40. Because that is the verses for this church. When we started the church, God said, that is the church passage. Do you have a life verse? Mine is John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That God said, that's my life verse. You have a life verse. If you don't know what it is, ask God. Just like you have a name. My name is Bashi. I'm a little black sheep. I don't fit. Okay? I also have another name, Giante. He said, I made you small in stature because what I'm going to do with you is so huge that he said, I will get the glory because you don't look like it could come through you. Okay? Okay? If nothing else, Pastors Glenn and Roxanne are going to be trophies of Calvary that God's going to give me a crown of glory for bringing them to Him. Okay? They're going to be there because God put me in their life and worked through me to bring them to Him. Do you understand? We get crowns, we get to heaven. Now, I'm not worthy of it. God did all the work. I'm going to cast them at His feet just like everybody else. Okay? Because the proud won't be there. Okay? Now, Matthew 22:36. God says, we're talking about priorities of love in our life. The Bible says, love God with everything. Number one, is that your priority? Do you love God more than anything? Do you love Him with everything? I'm not... Thank you. I'm asking you to ask yourself, do you love God more than anything? That's one question. Number two, do you love Him with everything? Do you love Him with your energy? Do you love Him with your time? Do you love Him with your money? Do you love Him with your conversation? Do you love Him with your lifestyle? Do you love Him with your choices? Do you love Him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, will, and emotions? Heart, let's see, love Him with all your heart, soul, and mind. What you think. Not questions right now, but write it down. I'll be glad to do it, whatever, let you talk later. So number one, is God your first love? Is God your first love? If the world was your first love, then you're going to compromise God. If yourself is your first love, are you listening to me? Please get this, because this is on the test. The test is your life. Serious. I care about you. If you love yourself more than God, you're going to compromise God because I don't want to because I don't feel like it. I'm not willing because I don't want to. Do you understand? It's not the way I think it should be. I don't think I should go kill all those people, as King Saul said. I don't think I should. I'll go kill most of them, but I won't kill the king. Are you with me? Now, do you understand that you cannot love others properly until you learn to love yourself? If you haven't forgiven yourself, if you don't like yourself, if you don't realize you are made in the image of God and you are loved for who you are, whether you ever change, God loves you 100% right now. He doesn't love you more when you do better. I keep the rules, so He's got to love me more than you because I keep them better than you. I know more than you. He loves you right now for who you are. If you don't know that, you can't love others properly because you will find yourself, have you ever found yourself judging other people? Judging other people, condemning other people. I don't mean discerning what's right and wrong. I'm talking about condemning them in your heart. Putting them down. Putting yourself up. If you've done that, it's because you don't love yourself properly, so you can't love others properly. You put expectation on them to do things, and they don't do it, so you judge them. Does that make sense? Okay, let's keep going. Thank you, Lord. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Will you please, when you leave here, will you please just ask the Holy Spirit, please bring back to my mind what He said that was of you? Because I want to own it. I want to live it. So what are the right priorities we talked about? Love God. Here's how God wants us to do it. He wants us to love Him, then receive His love, and now you have true love to give away to others. You got to love God, learn to love yourself. See, there's some of you in this room. I'm going to pick on Al because I don't think it applies to Al, but I'm going to pick on Al because he's a big boy. Okay? Now, I love Al, let's say. I don't know which way it goes. Doesn't probably matter. It doesn't matter. It's a cue ball either way. Just like I have. Man, I've been looking at I'm like, Lord, it doesn't matter. You know?
It all goes one way.
Are you ready? I know. Out. I know. Me too. Okay. I'd rather it turn gray than turn loose. You know? Watch this. So I find that I love Al. Let's say I'm using Al as an example. I love Al more than Al loves himself because Al makes choices that hurts himself that I wouldn't do to Al. Do you understand? So I love him more than he loves himself because I wouldn't do to him what he does to himself. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you hearing what I'm saying? My wife loves God and loves me so much that if you heard her teach in Sunday school, when God came to her and said, would you be willing to lose your car, have your car repossessed, and then our house got repossessed, it was because God said, she didn't tell you this because she was being kind. It was because God said, I'm trying to teach Harvey something, and the only way for him to learn it is to have your car repossessed. He doesn't know how to handle money too good. This was in the early 90s. So he said, Sue, would you allow me to have your car repossessed so Harvey can learn a lesson? It wasn't for her to learn a lesson. It was for me to learn a lesson. Loving others above yourself. Let's read this now. so we can get done. Let's talk about love. Four areas of love: God, world, other self. Read 1 John. What are the right priorities? According to Matthew 22, Jesus said, love God first. Number two, receive his love. Number three, now you have true love, the love of God, to give away to others. God should be our first love by far. Note, we have a hard time receiving love until our thinking is correct. God, where is my thinking? What's blocking me from receiving you, receiving love? As we love him by obeying and trusting. Do you know he said, if you love me, keep my commandments? Sue talked about that. But she and I, because of my work schedule, haven't even got to spend time together. I had no idea she was going to use that same verse. But God says, everything she was saying goes right along with what God wanted me to say. And we haven't even been able to have personal time together, let alone compare notes or something, as if some of y'all thought we did. But as we love God by obeying and trusting him, John 14:15, and we then receive his love, when we receive his love, we get balance in our lives because we're building on right thinking and on his acceptance. And also know that we are truly loved eternally and unconditionally. When we receive his love, now having received his beautiful and pure love, we can properly love others. Note, our God loves us whether we ever obey or not. His love is not based on our obedience. If it was, we'd all go to hell. His love is not based on our obedience. His blessings are, his favor is, his protection. Okay? But not his love. Whether we love and choose him or not, he loves us. But if we don't love and obey our Heavenly Father, we can't fully and properly experience his love. I gave the illustration when I was in Africa last year. And I gave this illustration over and over again, and many people said it ministered to them. I had a man sit here, and I had two, let's see, how did I do that? Nope, I sat here, and I had two men come up, and I said, these two men are my sons. And I said, and they've both hurt themselves. They fell and hurt themselves. This son, when he comes to me and I try to comfort him, he's crying, or I run to him and he's crying, oh, what happened? Have you ever had a child stiffen up on you? That you try to hug them, you try to comfort them, and you try to talk to them, they resist, they fight. You ever had anybody do that? I said, I have love for my son, but he can't receive it. Because he's so full of anger and hate and self-pity and whatever, he can't receive it. I said, but the other son, he falls. And I go to him and I pick him up and I hold him on my lap. That's why I did it on a chair. And I held him on my lap. I held this big old guy on my lap. And I petted his head. I need somebody. Come here, little guy. Come here. I need a little guy. Come here. Come here, buddy. Come here. Sit down. Okay? Oh, poor little buddy. Hurt himself. You understand? Go sit down, boy. And I loved him. And he received love. The other one could not receive love. The other one could not receive love. He would not receive love. God loves everybody on this planet, but there's many people that don't experience his love because they don't receive it. Because they're full of all these other spirits: anger, hate, selfishness, control, self-pity. Do you understand? And though God loves them, Remember we started off with Jonah chapter 2, verse 8, one of the saddest verses in the Bible. They that regard lying vanities forsake their own mercy. They could not get the mercy, the love, the peace, the comfort of God because they believed, they let a lie live through them. They tried to protect themselves. When you try to protect yourself, you're not letting God be your daddy. But they hurt me. Then you come to daddy. Daddy, they hurt me. Will you kiss my boo-boos? Yeah. And he kisses you. And that's how you get to know him as the comforter. I didn't make this up. I will give you another comforter. He wants to be known as the comforter. But maybe you don't know him as the comforter except in word only. You don't know him experientially because you've never gone to him to get comforted. Because you're protecting yourself. I won't let you get close. I'll put out here, speak to the hand. You know. Self-pity. I feel sorry for me. Why doesn't everybody else feel sorry for me like I do? I'm going to tell you. And then you wonder, and you want to think everybody else is wrong, but you're all lonely and you're miserable. And people are like that because they're believing lies. God, what lies? I dare you. I double dog dare you. Somebody told me down at Florida when I spoke in a church, I wasn't even the preacher, but I spoke in a church. And when I spoke, I said whatever. And then I said something again, and I said, I double dog dare you to do this. I didn't know why I said it. And then after I sat down the whole service, I'm sitting there beating myself up. Why did I say I double dog dare you? Why did I say that? And a lady came up to me after church and said, you know what? Until you said I double dog dare you, she said, I didn't write it down. But then after you said I double dog dare you, I wrote it down, and she said, I needed that. That's the whole reason I came to church. But she needed to hear that. So I double dog dare you. Ask God, what lies am I believing? Can you say that? What lies am I believing? Let's try it again. What lies am I believing? Ask God that when you leave here. God, what lies am I believing? What's separating me from people? What's separating me from joy and peace and victory and comfort and separating me from you? What lies am I believing? Man, these aren't even in my notes, but I like them. If we don't love and obey our Heavenly Father, we can't fully and properly experience His love. And our consciences are defiled, messed up, because of lies we believe and bad things we go through. We become, tell me if this has ever happened to you. We become bitter toward others, cynical, mistrusting, suspicious, fearful, hateful, selfish, moody, self-protecting. Basically, we become like everybody else on the planet and we become miserable. Always trying to find ways to ease our pain, looking for fun or relief. Why? Because we're self-focused, living life without God, thinking no one cares about me, so I have to take care of me. Do not raise your hand. Do not raise your hand. But do you know what I'm talking about? Has you experienced this? Let's remember our question. How could killing folks be love when God told 1 Samuel 15 and God told the king of Israel, I want you to go in and wipe out all the Amalekites, men, women, children, babies, cats, dogs, everything, cows, sheep, all of them, kill it. How could that be love? Anybody want to answer before I say this to end it? Man. You took all my notes and put it in three words. Did you hear what he said? Love to God. That's why he has to be our first love. We trust in God, not in our thinking. I'm not going to read the verses to you. I'm going to make you go do homework. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. How are you going to do homework if you don't write it down? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. And Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all the ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. The heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than yours. His ways are not our ways. Our ways are not his ways. Shame on us. What he says is right. What God says is right. Whether you understand it or not, he's right. Whether you agree with it or not, he's right. Remember, the whole title of this series is, You Are God and I Am Not. I'm going to read you one passage and we'll be done. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Do you remember the saying that I shared with you a long time ago? God, I choose to trust in you and your word no matter what I see, think, feel, or what others say. If you never heard that before, I'm going to say it again. Father, Jesus, I choose to trust in you and your written word no matter what I see, think, feel, or what others say. He loves you. His way is perfect. Ours is not. God's way works. Our version of his way doesn't work. Period. He's God. We're not. Where's my life need to come in line, Lord? And then when you see it, you want to beat yourself up? Don't beat yourself up. Jesus already got beat up for you. Just fall in love with Jesus and thank him. Thank you that you took what I deserve. Thank you you made it possible for me to know you. Thank you that you never give up on me. Thank you that you love me for who I am and not what I do. Thank you that you don't ever get mad and disappointed. He doesn't have expectation. He has desire for you. Desire. He loves you. And he won't ever quit. By the way, he's not the God of the second or the third chance. That's what we do with people. He's the God of whatever chance you need. Is that in the Bible? Man, y'all have good questions. I'm glad you ask. You remember when Peter said to Jesus, how often do I have to forgive my brother? Do I got to forgive him 7 times in a day? He thought he was being extreme. Do I got to forgive him even 7 times in a day? And Jesus said, I say not unto thee 7 times. How about 70 times 7? 490 times. Huh? Peter's like, I thought I was being extreme. I thought I was going the extra mile. Jesus is like, you don't even know what the extra mile's about yet, buddy. How often does somebody need to be forgiven? As often as they need it. That doesn't mean like a woman getting beat by the husband stays there and lets the guy keep beating her. Sometimes there has to be biblical separation so the guy will, you get the guy's attention. Okay? But for some reason, every time we tell a woman that, like one recently, as soon as he says, I'm sorry, she runs right back to him. He's going to beat you again. What are you thinking? You must be a slow learner, lady. I said, do you want him to change? He changed. I said, how many times has he done this before? Only 400. You forgive him. That doesn't mean you stay there. You're not called to be a doormat. Sometimes that's what has to happen to get their attention. Make sure what you do is in counsel. Make sure you get counsel. There are godly women, and there's godly men. I'm sure there's one around here somewhere. In this place. And you need to get counsel. Don't just go doing this stuff. Get counsel. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. God said that 6 times in the Bible. It's not because he had a stuttering problem. It's because we're slow learners. God has a way. God's way works. Love God. Let him love you. Get up on his lap. Let him love you. Let him believe in you. Look in his eyes. Find out how he loves you and believes in you. Let him hold you and caress you. And like with Al and me, run his fingers through both your hairs. Let him kiss you. He wants to. And then when you get loved on, and you get believed in, and you get healed, as you get that, as you receive a little, give it away, and you'll get more. All right, we're going to be done. I'm going to ask this question, and that's how we're going to end as far as I know, unless, yes, you can.
Why would a God who loves people kill all the people, including the children? And I think God helped me understand that one time. Those people, the adults there, were exceedingly evil. They were hurting other people, and they were going to hurt a lot more people. They were very evil. They had already been given a chance to turn to God and would not ever do that. So because of righteousness, goodness, and love, they had to die. Now, what if you would have left those children alive? They already had been raised by extremely evil people to a point, or birthed by them. So there was evil in the children already. But the people who killed the parents, if they took those children would hate them. They'd grow up with hate and bitterness toward the ones who had killed their parents. And that evil would continue to grow. By God taking those children as children, not yet, maybe the little ones not yet accountable, they would not be going to hell, the little unaccountable children. They would be going straight into the presence of God, where perhaps now they have a chance in eternity to be with God, rather than growing up by people they would hate and become just like their parents in hatred and evil.
I already went long. I couldn't explain everything. Everything she said is amen. That's okay. They already had the seed of evil inside of them. I just asked somebody earlier, have you ever done stuff in your life? You saw your parents do stuff and you said, I'll never do that. And then you end up growing up and doing the same thing. I'll never treat my kids that way. And then you do. Because the nuts don't fall too far from the tree. And what's in you, is you're going to see come alive in your kids. And that's why it's real important for us to begin to confess our sin and bring it before God and say, God, I want to end that. No more passing down to generations. No more into my kids. Just because it was in my mom and in my grandma, and now it's in me. No, no, no. The buck stops here. I'm bringing it all under the blood of Jesus. It's a generational curse. We're bringing it. I need forgiveness. God, I am so sorry. Do you understand? Okay, here's the question. Okay? We're going to end. Jesus, thank you. Amen. Okay, now, if God did something in you, if God was showing you, if God was stirring you, if you just want to own this, this is your time. I'm just telling you, you don't have to. You can do it at your seat. But I'm just telling you, this is a time for you. The reason I went forward every service for 25 years is because God did something inside of me to help me understand faith is an action word. And I wanted to move. I wanted to not just sit in my chair and go, I'm not a Chinese springhead, okay? That didn't help me. I watched all these other people doing it, and their lives never changed. So I went up and I made a conscious decision every time. God, I want this. God, show me my sin. God, I want what's right. God, I need this to live in me, and I don't know how to get there. See, a lot of things that were said, you already knew. But how did it change your life? That's why we got to go and ask God. God, come and activate it. God, come and do that in me. Okay? So stand up. If you want to come forward and pray, that's fine. I'm going to close us in prayer. I want you to give at least three people a hug. But if you need to take time with God, take time with God. It's a decision time. Okay? For you. Yeah, I mean, you got to stand up there for 15 minutes. You can go up there and just say, amen, Lord. Yep, that's what I want. That simple. But just take, even if you take one step forward and say it, make a choice to move with God. Okay? I'm just giving you a little key that helps in your life. Okay? Father, my desire is for your richest blessings, your protection, your peace, your joy, your life to flow in each one, each family. Lord, that warning word, I'm concerned. But Lord, I can't make choices for people. I can see things coming because you show me. And I want you to protect. I want you to, Lord, bring each one of us to the end of ourselves and the foot of the cross. Help us to see what we can't see. Help us to see maybe what we're not even willing to see. Help us to be willing to see it. Help us to move in the light you give us. And Lord, and then I would just want to thank you how you pursue us, how you love us, how you never give up on us. I want to thank you for this faithful people. You are so awesome, Lord. I thank you for, I see you working in lives of people, and I don't even tell them all the time because I don't have opportunity, but God, I'm just watching how you are working relationship into so many lives here. I hear it in their choices, in their conversation, in the way they do things or don't do things. And it is so awesome watching you live in these people. And thank you for surrounding me with them. I'm just thankful, Lord. You're awesome. Nobody like you, Jesus. I love you. Amen.